Greetings and welcome, everyone. It's All You Can Geek Games Cast, episode 323. I'm one of your hosts, Jim Gast, joined by Corey Feinstein.
Save the dream.
And Torkanakis.
Woo!
I didn't want to steal any thunder there because I didn't want to say, whatever it is. But all right, so welcome, listeners and viewers, to episode 323.
No gaming reference there, just.
Yeah, that was a Rogue One reference, which we all went and saw. So we'll be doing a spoiler cast. You'll be seeing that on the network, on our channels, on YouTube, on iTunes and stuff, or wherever you follow us. But right now, this is Gamescast, so we're gonna talk about some games and talk about some Mario Run. Let's kick off with Mario Run, which finally launched. Okay. Mario Run, guys.
Go for it, Tony. What do you got?
Oh, so I'm conflicted because A, I haven't purchased this yet. I personally don't see the $10 value of like hard-earned money. I do have GameStop credit, so I can easily just get like an iTunes gift card, but the thing is, with it being six worlds, which did surprise me, it's like, why only six? Like, it's so awkward. Like, I was talking about in the movie cast, it's just, you expect eight.
We talked about it last week, where yeah. I heard it was six.
Yeah, and I refused to believe it. I was like, man, maybe it's just a demo. It's like, no, that's weird. Like, again, it's just, you come to expect things. There's expectations. And when you fuck with those things, you fuck with, like, the space-time continuum, okay? You just don't do that. So, like, six worlds in Mario, not cutting it. But anyway, the game itself, I think, is pretty fun. Like the core gameplay, it's fun.
It's there's a reason there's a whole lot of runners on like mobile because it does work.
Right. Yeah. It works, but you know the thing is, like, I don't know. Nintendo has that magic where they make it a little bit extra.
They take a style or a it's like a platformer, and then they turn it into something magical where it becomes memorable. And then historic, it's like everybody knows Mario because of the original games, not just because he's a plumber, but because of how they played, the world that they created. Sonic's a platformer too. People don't remember Sonic as well.
Yeah. But the thing is, you get to try the first three levels for free, which is cool. And I personally do like the coin challenge because you can go through each level three times trying to get the five pink or green or black coins, I think, whatever colors
there. There's pink coins, then there's black coins. Is that in every level, black coins?
No, yep. I think it goes pink, purple, black. So you gotta get five of each.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They're not all on the same thing. The thing is, the first time you do it for the pink coins, it's one layout, and then the purple ones show up, and they're in the different areas. And then once you do that, you get the black ones. So I personally like that because, and this is what I've said for years, from primarily Mario games, but even Kirby games and Yoshi, the games are easy enough. If your objective is just to get to the end level, to get to the flagpole or get to the warp star, whatever it is, it's not that challenging. You can do it, even beginner gamers. And that's fine because those people can enjoy the game at their own pace. But for veteran or experienced gamers, if you're looking for that challenge, that's where you're going to find it. Because even I had a hard time getting some of those coins. I was like, Jesus Christ, where is this? And you can't go back in this really. So it's like, I gotta restart this level.
That's the hardest part. It reminds me of the original Mario where you couldn't go back. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I'm just not used to that anymore. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So $10, I don't think is too high of a proposition if it were a little longer. If it had eight worlds, I'd be like, oh, that's like a dollar something per world. I could do that. But six for 10, and Jim, like you said last week, you get the first three out of four for free. So it's like, well, you're paying $10 for essentially five worlds, which, it's not bad. But, I'm thinking, how long is that really going to hold me over for, 2-3 hours? That's not bad, but I kind of like a bit more replayability to my Mario games.
What about $4.99?
Oh, yeah.
$4.99 I would buy.
$4.99 impulse purchase, no questions asked. The one thing I do got to mention is I actually really like the Toad Rally minigame.
Corey likes that, too. I haven't played that yet.
I love
that's the only thing that I thought that was interesting. Everything else was kind of
That, I think, is the most interesting part of the Mario games because, it pits you against people around your skill level, and they give you one of, it seems a few different randomized seemingly random dice courses, and you're trying to do like your best, you know, flips and jumps and combos and stuff like that to impress Toads, and whoever has the most Toads gets to steal Toads from the losing player and stuff like that. The My Kingdom, I don't really personally care about. That doesn't affect me at all, so whatever.
The only thing that I did was build the house so that way you could do the daily thing, so you potentially get a ticket so you could do the rally. The thing I think they should have done is let you get a rally ticket every day for just opening the app, get one. But
right. So, I mean, they might do that, but apparently once you get the blue Toads, I don't even know. I guess you just get them once you get a certain number of regular Toads. You can buy a question mark block, which every time you hit that, it does give you a Toad Rally ticket. So,
no, I mean, I think the only thing that was interesting to me, just because it breaks up, like, I don't want to say monotony, but it's just different because you're actually facing a ghost of another player who's done this already potentially. I don't think it's live or anything like that, but just a run against someone else. And like you said, you're trying to beat them by getting coins and building up these, you know, streaks to get Toads to come cheer you on. Whereas the main game is just kind of running through a level, collecting coins. And I mean, there are a lot of runners out there. And yes, Nintendo does a great job of putting a different skin on it and look and feel. I mean, it's Mario through and through here, but at the same time, it's kind of just the same old as these other games.
I mean, I think it's a solid first effort for their like first real game, because I don't really count Miitomo because that's just a stupid social, you know.
What about Go?
Well, I mean, Niantic, so it's not really theirs. I mean, they had to help with it, obviously, but it wasn't like...
So now we're getting into the whole, how much is Nintendo actually making on this thing?
Well,
it's still a Pokemon game.
This is their game.
I know it's Dynamic made this and it's based off of Ingress, but I'm just saying, you know, it's still Nintendo's name is still on there.
Right.
I mean, but as far as what this game is offering, I'm a little disappointed that it's not more. It is what we all thought it would be.
I don't know if it's going to hold that interest that long.
Mm-hmm. Pokemon Go has a lot more going on for it, I think.
And they have come out and said that they're not planning on releasing any extra stuff.
And that's where I was going to get to. And I think that was a mistake to say, because it's like, I mean, if they would come out with like a new world every month or something like that, a challenge course, like a challenge course of the week, and that's what you use for like a special version of Toad Rally or something like that, where you can get, I don't know, different rewards or whatever.
I didn't hear about this. That's crazy. Like, if I expected them to be updating this game with something, you know, for $10 especially.
Yeah. Well, it's just crazy because, I mean, so many people, like, if you just go on, I went on Twitter the first day because Super Mario Run was trending, and like, a lot of people are excited about the game, but there's so many people that are bitching, like, you expect me to pay $10 for this, Nintendo? Fuck you, I want to play it for free on my $600 device. It's like, all right, we're getting to a lot of entitlement here, like, you know, whatever. Which just speaks volumes to me to, like, just the sad state of mobile gaming, because it's just like, people don't want to pay. Like, Jim, I know you were like, $10 is a lot of money. Like, $10. Yeah. $10 is fucking nothing. Like, that can't even get you lunch at most places.
Different platforms, though. It's just different platforms. That's all it is. Like, it's a lot of money for a mobile
game. It's what we were talking about before. It's what you expect. What do you expect from a mobile game, and what do you want to get from your $10? You know, like, you can get Jade Empire for $10 on a mobile game. Which you can get KOTOR for $10 mobile game. Like,
I think it's actually $5, that one.
Well, right now it's $3, but $3. It's on sale. But like, you're paying a premium for getting these games. So I think when people see a mobile game for $10, they're expecting more than just three modes, which are a running, a rally, and building a kingdom.
Well, sure. I'm not saying there's not a segment in that, but there are literally people who are like, I love the first three levels and I want to play more, but you fucking charge me $10, so I deleted the app. It's like these people don't even know, like, you know, how many
it's
levels.
It's not, you know, it's like you said, it's not even the price. It's just the content for me. It's not, I don't see it as enough of an enticement for $10.
Right,
it's
not, and I agree with that.
I'm not upset with the actual $9.99 as long as, like you said, if there was eight worlds, four per, plus like another mode at the end, like, I don't know, like, I don't know. They're missing content.
If they came out and said, like, we're going to build on this, like, you're going to pay your $10, but we're going to add two more worlds.
Yeah.
You're gonna get a different, like, new competitive mode. I think that would have gone a long way.
Yeah. No, absolutely, 100% agree with that. But like I said, you know, I think it's a solid, not perfect, first implementation of a mobile game by them. But it is weird because I think this game really would have lent itself to a, you know, free to play, but within that purchase, you know, like it just lends itself, like, oh my god, like buy 1,000 coins for like $1, buy 10,000 coins for like $8, and like then you could do like, you know, the kingdom building bullshit, and then, you know, you use that money to keep making more levels of the game, you know, to keep people playing, and obviously the more
and
people
it is
that are playing,
top grossing still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So
you have Wi-Fi calling on?
Got it, man.
But, you know, the one thing I will say is like everybody at work downloaded it, which is kind of crazy.
I mean, that's the thing is like you are gonna get downloads when you do offer a free download to try. Like, they don't want to call it free to play, but free to try, you're going to get people to download at least, which is good. And it's getting people, Mario on their minds. It's getting Mario in the spotlight. It was trending, like you said. So hopefully they can build on this momentum and do some good stuff with Switch in January.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. What else do we have? No more Nintendo news. The NES Classic, which is impossible to find. Somehow sold 200,000 units domestic. It's more than that actually now, but because they're actually starting to come out a little bit in the stores, so it's actually selling pretty well. But we all knew it would. It just would be able to meet demand. And
200,000 units for all of the United States for the whole month of November. Japan got more than that in like the first week. That's ridiculous. Like, I don't think it's ready. I think it's still like
it's. Like, Nintendo Japan. Yeah.
Like, my God. My God.
Well,
this is the only thing you have going into the holiday season. You know people are going to buy it, even if if demand is not as high as you expect it to be. Like, at least have 500,000 ready to go for the holiday.
Yeah. No, I get you. I mean, 200,000 units is actually, like I said, a very good sales for it. However, They could have easily sold double that.
Yeah. And even if you didn't sell them all by the time January comes around, you would have.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
So,
but
But go ahead. What?
No, I was just going to say they do like to have that hype where, you know, when people want something that they can't have, it makes it that much more valuable.
Right. Well, that's the thing is, I mean, you look at the Amiibo craze and like, it was kind of similar because it first came out, those like wave one and wave two of Amiibo were fucking sold out. Like, you couldn't get those rare characters like Marth and Weefit Trainer and, you know, Villager. Like, those were going for hundreds of dollars after the first week because nobody, like, they only got a couple in. So people bitched and, you know, after like 6-8 months, you know, look, they're starting to come back on the market. The collectors who want them have already gotten them and this is like they're just sitting on shelves. You know, a lot of them are just sitting on shelves and collecting dust. So it's like, you know, like, damned if you do, damned if you don't, you know? So it's just, it's hard striking that balance. I think, especially with the NES Classic, like, Amiibo, I think they played it safe on because, you know, really, like, that was a new thing for them. Like, NES Classic, yeah, it's new for them, but, like,
but see,
80s nostalgia is, like, an all-time high.
I feel like Amiibo was also missed as an opportunity. I they sold a lot of them, don't get me wrong, but the interest now has died down because they have yet to really support that.
Well, okay, yeah, it's a missed opportunity for a different reason, though. I'm saying NES Classic was a missed opportunity in the fact that they could have sold a lot more without really overflooding the market. Amiibo, the Wii U died, and 3DS didn't have any games for it. I'm assuming the Switch is going to have, you know, the stuff built into it, so we'll see, you know. I really think now with Disney Infinity dead, and it looks like Skylanders is on the decline, it's only Lego and Amiibo left on the market, so, I mean, it's just...
But that it market's like, not what it was at all.
No, that market's dwindling. Right. It absolutely is. So
being number one in something that's dying doesn't necessarily mean it's good.
No, but I mean the thing is, if you still make a profit, is it worth it? You know.
Right, but that's the question: is it? Are they making profit?
I mean, I can't. I don't know. We'll see. I can't see them.
I just see them sitting on shelves, and like I didn't think Disney was losing money on this stuff enough to cancel it. Like, just all out of the blue. It felt like, oh, well, we're done with this. See you guys. Since it seemed out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They just misproduce their stuff. And Nintendo now, they're all over the shelves, whatever they're making. So they're not selling either. So hopefully they're not overproducing, which will then make them fold easier. Like,
they just need to come out with something that's supported. Like you're saying, there's no support for it right now. It doesn't make sense other than for collectors to have them sitting on a shelf somewhere.
Yeah. Like those Zelda Amiibo, the new ones, I don't know if you've seen them, but those look awesome. Like
they do. They do.
You know, I'm going to get them, but it's like they're for collection purposes, not...
Yeah, I think I might sell some of my, I think I might sell some of mine that I have if I can, like just put them up on eBay, get rid of a couple of them. I think I have a couple of rarer ones, but I'll just get the ones that I want from now on, rather than just be like, oh, it's rare, I gotta buy it.
Which ones do you think are rare?
I don't know.
They're not.
Sheik. Only a handful. Nah, Sheik actually is decently rare because, and this is the funny thing, is like, there are so many characters that were like common for a while, and they just didn't produce any more of them. Like, Sheik is one of them. Like, Toon Link. Toon Link I could find for months on end. Now you can't find them. Because the thing is, they made the new Toon Link amiibo in the Zelda Anniversary Collection, so they didn't reprint the Smash Brothers Toon Link. So that one shot up in price. It's... Same thing with, like, the original Kirby. You can't find the original Kirby because they made the new Kirby line.
Yeah, I don't really know what I have. I mean, I have, like, you know, the... I have a couple of those weird collector's ones. Lucina. Now I'm drawing blanks on what I own.
Yep.
There's a couple of them, though. I'll have to take a look. Just see. Mm. I may have a few. But, all right. What else do we have? Last bit of Nintendo news we have. The Nintendo Switch is going to have an announcement next month, as we said. But Digital Foundry, I think, leaked their specs.
Yeah, they came out with a report today.
Not so good.
Nope.
This is the problem. And okay, now look. Okay, let's. And I've said this a million times. I'm absolutely fine with this as a handheld console. Power wise, it's above a PS3, probably about the Wii U area. I would say, right? Power.
I think it'd be more, but.
No, for a handheld.
Again.
Would you expect something like that? Would that be awesome?
I think it would be more.
Okay. All right. I think it's fine to have a Wii U graphical power in your hands.
I'm fine with that. Yeah, I'm just saying I think that what they should have had is more than a Wii U, regardless if it's a handheld or not.
The issue that I have with this is that we've been told like incorrect information, or they're just doing this wrong, where they said this is a console first, then it's going to be a handheld as a hybrid. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's not being marketed as a handheld. It's being marketed as a console.
But and everything I think they're doing shows that it's a handheld first.
I know. But everything that was said about it in the beginning was this is a console.
No, I know. Like, what they're saying and what they're doing are completely different. But at the same time, like, spec-wise doesn't mean as much to me, just because look at the Vita and the 3DS. The Vita was way more powerful than 3DS. Doesn't mean it's a better handheld.
Yeah, but I mean, as long as they come out with it and they're pushing it as a handheld, this will be fine, and third parties will do fine with it. But if they say it's a console, then again, you're in the same limbo zone of no third party support, and you have to rely on Nintendo release their games constantly, consistently every quarter without
You're gonna get through a third party support, I think. It just you're not gonna get the top of the line games like.
As long as you get third party support, you're fine. It's just. They can't go through the gaps they went through in the Wii U. It just doesn't work.
Right, but that's the whole point of this thing, and that's what I was talking about for years now. For years, I even went back and listened to some of the podcasts about the NX, and I was like, man, a lot of this stuff is like coming to fruition now. It's like mind blowing because the thing is now they're completely focused on one platform. Like, I mean, I don't know how many times I've said it.
But
they're
not saying they are, though, Tony.
Well, no,
that's
I know,
the
but
problem.
That's
but they're still but, saying that they're going to be supporting all this other stuff. They're still saying
but that's
that
just
this
that's
and
just
that.
Talk of the third part, like the third pillar bullshit. When the DS was
saying.
Coming out, they're like, oh, the DS is going to complement the GameCube and the Game Boy Advance line. It's like, really, really, because you dropped the GBA like a fucking rock. So you're not tricking me, you know. You're just,
I know, but that's
it's
what
PR
saying,
bullshit.
So
right, it's all PR bullshit. You're smarter than that. Jim's smarter than that. I'm smarter than that. I'm assuming every listener to our podcast is smarter than that. Don't believe people. Like, just believe what actually comes out. Believe what happens. Don't believe fucking PR bullshit talk. Remember Milo? Remember Kinect? Remember all that fucking stupid shit? Remember, like, that fucking, what is it, that PlayStation magic book or whatever that had one game for it? And stop believing PR bullshit. Like, just stop.
I'm not saying you need to believe it. I'm just saying Nintendo themselves are saying these things. And when they're saying these things, it's not that it's going to come to fruition. I'm just saying that why are they trying to inform the people that are going to be buying this?
Because
I'm talking to the general public here.
Because it's for the fucking investors, because they want the security. Because every investor is like, well, if the Switch fails, then Nintendo's just going third party, blah, blah, blah. And this way they could be like, oh, well, we're relying on 3DS sales, you know, to carry us to the next thing. Because I guarantee you there is a contingency plan. If the Switch fails, they're like, well, we're going to fast track this other backup plan. And this is going to be the next console or next handle, whatever they want to call it. I guarantee it, because they're just playing it safe, man. They're just playing it safe because they have to be. They have to play conservatively now because of how badly the Wii U did.
Oh, they got to YOLO this, man.
They do. They do got to YOLO. And the thing is, like, so here's the thing. I'm not going to completely discredit, because I think they're sourcing Eurogamer, and Eurogamer has done a couple of the leaks in the past few months. So there's probably some credibility to it. But, you know, as a handheld, I think anything is better than, you know, it's supposedly better than the Vita. It's all, like I think Jim said, I think it's on the level of Wii U. That's, for a freaking handheld, that's amazing. Like, I don't know if you realize that. Like, it's a Wii U that you can take with you, like,
which
on the go.
They wanted that. That's what they wanted Wii U to be, but they just could not get the gamepad.
No, absolutely. You know, and supposedly it's going to be, you know, just below the Xbox One when docked. To me, personally, that's fine, because the thing is, I have a high-end gaming PC. I have a PS4. So primarily, as always, my Nintendo system is going to be first-party Nintendo stuff and, you know, some of those third-party exclusives and stuff like that. And, you know, if anything, a lot of these indies have already announced, you know, like Stardew Valley, the new Binding of Isaac, you know, they hinted at stuff like that. Like, this is awesome because I buy it once and it's on a platform that I could play on my TV, or I could pick up and play on a handheld when I go out. So the thing is, I don't think it's aimed to be a primary device for, like, you, me, or Jim, like, gamers. But, you know, I think they're trying to attract that audience where it's like, hey, you know what? You play, like, you know, primarily mobile games. You should buy a Switch because, you know, whatever. And the thing is, you know, it's all about context. If it's underpowered compared to the competition, I think we all expected that. I don't think there's a single person that expected a PlayStation 4 performance.
No.
There's no way you're taking, like, look at your PlayStation 4. There's no way you're shrinking that into, like, this form factor at all. It's impossible.
And putting a screen on it, too.
And putting a screen on it. That's impossible. Like, maybe if it lasted, like, 10 minutes, it might be possible, but that'd be fucking useless.
No, but I think it is possible in terms of the dock to do that.
Why? How?
Discrete graphics built into the dock.
Okay, right, but then, you know, you
they
get
are making it slightly more powerful when docking it. It just,
yeah, they're just keeping the exact same specs.
Open
they're basically,
you know, right. Like you're saying, and upgradability. Like,
right, and Jim, and the thing is, I'm not discrediting that possibility, like Corey's saying. I'm pretty sure in a year, 18 months, the 2-year mark, we're going to see something like Switch Pro or, you know, Switch Plus or Switch I or, you know, whatever the hell Nintendo naming convention is going to go.
The new Switch.
Where it's going to be, right, the new Nintendo Switch or whatever like that, you know, the Switch U, whatever the hell, that is going to be more aimed at a, you know, higher fidelity, you know, graphics and, you know, whatever. That's fine. Because, like, honestly, like, none of us have a 4K television. So what would, you know, what would the point be for most people for getting a system, a handheld system, handheld console hybrid that supports 4K when most people do not have a 4K TV? It's just useless. And the other thing is, again, context is everything, because if this system comes out around $200, like, are you really going to complain?
Do you expect it to be a
$199? No.
I think that would be the best. I think $250 is realistic. But it's not
$250. But I don't think $250 is a good value. I think $199, it's definitely a good value. That's the buy point. But $250, it's questionable at this point. With the graphic power that it's going to boast.
How much did you pay for your 3DS?
$169. I got it on sale. So
you have an XL, I thought, don't you?
Oh, yeah. But I got it for $169 on some weird special thing I got for it.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
No, I think $199 needs to be where it's at. For a hardware base that's now, what, 10 years old? How old is the Wii U now?
The Wii U's not 10 years old.
4 years old.
The Xbox 360 came out in 2005.
But, okay, how much more... Yeah, exactly. But how much more powerful is it than the PS3? So it's like... It's like 10 years old, this technology. Just because the Wii U came out and it's only that powerful doesn't mean the technology is not older. That's what I'm trying to say.
But the technology is... The thing you're trying to say, Jim, is that it's Wii U, just taking Wii U components and putting it... It's still new components that they're using.
Right,
it may not be as powerful. The technology is still new, though. It's just not usually... It's like putting an i3 into a machine instead of putting an i5. Like,
there's far more powerful and battery-efficient chips out there, and they chose not to do that. That's all. The capability was easily there.
Maybe.
Whatever the reason went into that, as long as they launched the system at a good price point, it's fine. However, I have a feeling they're not going to launch it at a good price point. I think they're going to miss the price point on this.
It's possible, but maybe that's why they went with that stuff, so they could hit those price points.
Mm-hmm.
I think
if it launches at $299, are we going to say it's in deep shit?
Yes. I'd say it's in deep shit at $299.
Yeah, $299 is probably way too high.
If you're going to be overpricing like a PS4 and an Xbox One S,
you're done. You're done on arrival.
Because by the time those come, not the time, but like they're on sale all the time now. Like $250 is basically the norm for these systems.
Right, yeah. And again, that's why I think there's reason for them to skip out on this holiday season, because it's really you come out with a Switch, base $299, doesn't come with shit. You have PS4s and Xbox Ones coming with controllers, games, gift cards for like $200. It's $200 to $250. It's like,
yeah,
that's really hard to. It's so hard to compete with.
Oh sure,
incredibly hard. Like damn, I'm tempted to get a fucking second PS4 so I can hook it up at my parents' house so I don't have to keep fucking lugging back and forth. Not that I do anymore, but I got Overwatch digitally, so it's like, well, I really want to play Overwatch, whatever. Again, but this is all you're saying until next month, so this is just speculation at this point.
Yep.
So we shall see.
Okay. All right, I think that's all we have. I don't care about the rest of this news. Let's talk about what we've been up to.
Fuck this other news.
That's not
there wasn't really
news.
Anything.
No, really. Nothing important. So what have you guys been up to play-wise, Tony?
I forget if I mentioned it last week on the podcast, but I've been playing Odin Sphere.
You almost got me to buy it this week. I haven't done it yet. But I'm so far deep on games right now. It's ridiculous.
If you want to play, get through your stuff. If you want to borrow it, you can, because it's not a game that I'm going to play right away or anything like that. I mean, it's a meaty game, so
yeah.
I think they said 30 something hours is the median for completion. But I'm towards the end of the second character that you get to play as. It's still fun. I like it because the characters have different properties and characteristics and magic spells and combat abilities, and obviously their own storyline, so it's really awesome. I love the art, I love the world, everything about it. The one weak aspect though is, at least for the second character, you're revisiting a lot of the same locations as the first one, because it takes place at a different time interval, so you get to meet all these characters. A lot of fights seem to be recycled or rehashed, which is a little disappointing, but whatever, it's still fun. Other than that, Super Mario Run, just the first couple levels, and a lot of Toad Rally. Some Hearthstone still. I got up to rank 12.
You guys play any Overwatch the other night?
I was playing Overwatch before the podcast, actually, just because it's the winter event. I don't think I saw you guys on PlayStation, so I just booted up on PC because my PC account's level 6 right now, so it's really easy to level up. So I'm like, well, I'll level up now while it's easy to get these loot boxes. Hopefully get some goodies there. But
well, you and I played.
That's what I'm saying. You guys got together for a game the other night, right?
We did.
It was
It's
been a few days now, but
yeah.
We played a few, and it's funny because they give you a free loot box, and I got the Torbjorn skin in that free loot box. And then we played arcade, and they give you one for winning certain modes. And then in that loot box, I got two legendaries. So I had a May legendary.
Cool.
So within three loot boxes, I had three legendaries.
So you get a free loot box when you sign in for the holiday thing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They give you a free
loot box. Just like you did for the other events.
Mm-hmm. Gonna hop on tonight.
So,
So
just might as well get that. We still haven't placed. I haven't placed at least. Did you place yet?
No, I didn't do any.
I do want to get my placements done at some point, because the longer we wait, the worse it's going to be.
Yeah. So. Now, Corey, any luck with the? Did you get the Elite set up yet? Or are you still getting your hub?
Yeah.
And everything?
So I got my Elite. Let me get this here.
Yeah, the best Elite controller on the market. Yeah.
I did try the
Why do you have the headphone thing in the bottom of it?
This?
Because yeah.
Because my headphones require a 3.5 millimeter thing, and this you can still use the.
It's got thing. It, but it's got it.
Yeah, but can you hit this button and mute yourself?
No.
Okay, that's why.
Get fucked, Jim.
I don't have these are the headphones I use. It has no, there's no controls on it whatsoever.
Okay.
So with this thing, I can still control, mute. I can
and
switch
chat,
between
chat
game
volumes.
Audio and voice audio and stuff, yeah. But I do have to say, like, the Control Freaks are so much better than the sticks that they give you, unfortunately.
Really?
Yep.
But, what? Wow.
So you got a really expensive controller with the great thumbsticks, and you replaced them already with other thumbsticks.
Well, that's the whole point of this, is to customize it.
So you got those sticks. I have to come over and try those. So you're saying those, just you pull off the ones that Microsoft gives you, and you put those on.
Well, no, I'm using the ones that Microsoft gives me because you got to. But I just prefer the feel of these Control Freaks. But I mean, as far as controllers go, it's awesome. You know, I
got nice
got
weight,
my full paddle action here.
I see you got the drive dock. I mean, the drive dock, the controller dock, the Insignia one.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a great dock. Michael got my cousin got that too. I recommended it. It's a great dock. It's very nice quality, and it gets good battery still with that.
And it was funny because it was on sale. So yeah. What sucks is the Insignia one I had doesn't work with the new controllers or the Elite. So I was like, this is
where that's what happened. That's what happened with me. I was like, my battery was lasting like 30 seconds. It was like, so I went and got that for $10, the Insignia one when it was on sale. So
I can't reach my box from here.
It's all right.
But so, I was going to get something else I got. I got the, well, that's what I was going to try to reach. I couldn't, I couldn't quite reach it, but I got the Chronos Max and the hub for it. So that setup was pretty simple.
Did you get your the only thing you got to notice is you got to program that touchpad so you can look at your scores in Overwatch so that the
button, that's what I was asking you, like in Slack, is like when you say you got to program it, like what do you mean, because it's already programmed.
Yeah, but I just had to assign it to that button, that's all.
It's assigned to that by default.
I had a problem with that at first. Maybe they switched that in the latest configuration.
That's what I was asking you, like where do you do that, because it looked like it was already there.
Oh wow, no, I had to go into the configuration and then like tell it to assign that to that button, and then it was really easy once I figured out how to get it to program to it. It just took me a while to remember how to get it to program. So
I'd have to say, like, so with this controller, you're no longer holding it, you know, obviously viewers can see this but not your listeners, so I'm gripping the controller with my hands. Now with the Elite, you don't grip it, you kind of just squeeze it. You get that feeling?
Yeah.
So, like, now, basically, because there's stuff in the way of my fingers, I can't just squeeze or, like, grip the controller. I have to kind of use my palms to hold it.
Hold it, yeah.
And
so I'm doing
this. I'm just kind of squeezing it together. And that has been quite a
bit. But that's how I hand, you know what, that's how I hold my controller anyways.
Well, I always use my fingers to hold the paddle area. No, and now I can't do that. So it's been a learning experience. It took me a long time to... When I say long, I mean a few hours, but it felt like a long time because I was playing Destiny, obviously, and I was sucking it up so badly. And like, I'm like hitting like buttons like back here. I'm like, what's going on here? I'm not what's doing.
Did you realize why I double configured? Like, the jump button is both sides of the sticks for me now, because I'm in a panic. I hit both.
Well, like, just to be sure I jump. I've been switching it. It's been every single button. My jump has been every single one. And my
you're still trying to find the comfort.
It's been every single
that's
one.
That's the only drawback for the Elite, because you're so used to the other controllers, be that a PlayStation 1 or even the Xbox controller. You're not used to those buttons, so when you're playing a game you've already played, it's not like second nature to press those buttons. Mm-hmm. So, like, as you move forward and you play new games, you'll be, you know, learning
right,
it with the buttons.
That's why, like, I definitely wanted to get the Chronos, because I have most of my stuff on PS4. I didn't want to have to go back, like, because, like, the controllers are now much different. Although I did find there is like this, the Chronos Max company does make a adapter for the PS4 that gives you paddles.
I didn't. They must have come out of that recently. Cool.
Yeah, it's. I think it. It said pre-order now on GameStop like in October, and I think it's out now. It's something maybe you want to look into, Tony. Like, for much cheaper than spending $150 to get a controller and the Chronos.
Wow.
But yeah, it's been pretty good. And like I said, I've been playing the Destiny because they have their holiday event as well, which includes Sparrow Racing and a bunch of new things, strike scoring, which is actually pretty fun. And it's been interesting. And I have to show you guys later, but I recorded it because it's ridiculous. I was playing this one Sparrow race. And you do need to get wins for certain like bounties or like achievements that you need to accomplish. And so it was neck and neck until the end. Like right at the end, I pull ahead and we cross the finish line. And I'm clearly ahead because it says I'm first. It switched from 2 to 1 and I can see the guy's name now has a 2 next to it. And as soon as we cross, the ranks come up and it has him number 1 and I'm second place. I recorded it. It's I have the footage. It's like, what the fuck? So
I don't know. But, anything else you've been up to?
Well, like just basically the trying to get the winter event stuff done, but not done, but just try to enjoy that while it's here. So with you know, get back into Overwatch a little bit and Destiny's. So I haven't gotten back to Final Fantasy 15, but I have to say I'm pretty excited to play that because it's been a lot of fun so far.
I'm only an hour in, but graphically it's pretty nice actually. I expected it to look like shit because it did look like shit. But
I admittedly said this game looks like crap and was terrible, and it's one that I was not looking forward to whatsoever.
No, I'm not gonna do it.
And Tony's like trolling face here, but Tony doesn't even own the game.
No, I know. So. I'm an hour in.
Two guys that were shitting on this game, like, you know what? They turned it around for us. And like I was saying, it's not one that I was excited for or even wanted to play. And then watched the Kingsglaive anime, and then it's like, you know what? I'm pretty interested in, let's see how this goes. And it was definitely worth the 30 bucks. Yeah.
I'm happy with it so far, but I also have the high-res graphics I can do with my Pro. Very, very minor differences, but I have seen it. It's like a 4K resolution, but basically what I did was I turned it on because I have a 1080p TV, and so I just think it's downsampling to 1080, which is better than, you know, the regular light version or what they say. So I have light, and I have high and default. I don't know which ones are which. I'm going to read about them. But I'm only at like an hour in so far. Combat's slightly basic, but...
I have to say it's not basic at all.
No. No, no, so far. I don't have anything unlocked really yet. So, you know, it's like I have one MP attack power, the warp thing, and I'm still trying to kind of tinker with my weapons. You know, I don't know if I'm doing it right in the combats yet, but...
I think that, yeah, once you get into it more. It's like you unlock it. There's actually a lot going on with combat that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was shocked that...
It's
definitely, it's a bro story, but, you know, it's been okay so far. Like, knowing that it was a bro story, like, I think I'm laughing about it more as they're, like, they're playing Stand By Me in the beginning. When you're pushing the car, I'm just like, there's the song that you see in the trailer, and, you know, I'm just like, I don't know. And then I'm thinking about all the stuff that I heard about people saying, like, they'll talk about taking women to romantic spots, and it's just like, it's like a bachelor party on the road. It's like a road trip, party. So, yeah. I'm enjoying that, but what?
Oh, I just wanted to chime in here. There's an asterisk with I don't have the game yet. The reason I don't have the game yet is because A, I already have a huge backlog as it is, like so many games. And like the thing is, that game is definitely going to drop in price. Not to mention the caveat here is that they've already admitted they're doing free patch DLC to like clear up a lot of issues people are having with the game, which includes a very controversial chapter. And I'm not fucking doing that shit again after that Mass Effect bullshit. I'm sorry, you guys fucking
so
ruined
wait
that.
Wait,
yeah,
they
I'm waiting.
Patch
I'm waiting.
It. When are they patching it? Do we know? Okay.
So wait. So then Tony's the one who's saying this game may not be finished and done.
It might not be. I never guaranteed it was going to be done. I just said when we saw stuff, it looked good to me.
And but I said it looked like shit.
Right. But the thing is, when they're like, hey, you know what? We're going to address some things that people, a lot of people are complaining about. So
but yeah,
like,
I mean, just as far as the price dropping thing, like $30 is pretty far down.
How did you get it for 30?
He got my buy two, get one.
Oh, well, that's
plus
the thing.
Plus the Gamers Club unlocked.
Right. That's the thing. I couldn't get it for $30 because I didn't have somebody to go down the middle with me. So,
Jim, you should have said something because you got freaking Last Guardian and going to return that shit.
Yep.
You can't get more than two copies of a game with
DC. I am.
Xbox.
Well, I guess it could have been the free one.
You could have done different systems. It would have worked.
I would have gotten Xbox.
When is this patch coming out? God damn it.
But
The Last Guardian, I'm not keeping after everything I've heard about Last Guardian. I am not playing
crazy
that game.
Is like, there's like people that have given this game of the year, like masterpiece, like stuff, which is.
Which?
Like, there's, like, some sites that have done it. Like, I think GameSpot had a couple people that said this.
Wait, which game?
The Guardian of the Last Crap Dog.
This crappy game that I am not
you
going to
You can't say it's crap because you haven't even played it. So,
all I know is every single thing I've heard about this game right now, every single person has said the stupid thing, it's double the length and time to complete the game only because the stupid dog monkey thing doesn't listen to you. That's it. The bird monkey dog thing does not listen to you. So it lengthens the game because of that. The puzzles. You do the puzzles correctly, but you can't finish them because the dog thingy doesn't listen to you. You're not doing anything wrong.
I'm the lowest on this game, and I'm just saying, like, you're saying things that could or could not be true, but we don't know.
I have zero interest in that game.
I played a little bit of Doom, and I kind of felt, you know, I was kind of hyped to play that game, but I played like probably about 45.
I think you need to like not play a shooter right after shooter.
But it's very generic. Like, it's just very meh.
You went from Gears to Titanfall to Doom. Like,
yeah,
you probably should have taken a break.
And this one feels
that's
like
what, I didn't jump into Doom just because I wanted to get something else.
Gotta cleanse the palate.
Yeah, I'll go back to it afterwards. So I'm gonna go Final Fantasy here. All right, I think that's gonna wrap up this episode, Gamescast. So, listeners, if you have any questions or comments, write us podcast@allyoucangeek.net. Follow us on Twitter, @allyoucangeek. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on YouTube as well. We have our YouTube channel, so subscribe to that. You'll get notified when we post new episodes. Tune in to our spoiler cast of Rogue One coming up if you have seen Rogue One. If not, you know, don't tune in then. The hell with it.
Make sure you enjoy your holidays with your friends, family, and loved ones.
I forgot to say it in the movie cast. Shit. Have a
Merry
nice
Christmas.
Holiday. Yes.
Or happy Hanukkah.
Or Kwanzaa. Enjoy Kwanzaa. Yeah. Happy
whatever it is you celebrate.
Festivus.
Festivus. Hanukkah. Yes.